The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See?
Yo, you water lovers here in the Berkshires and all around the world. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your super waterman, your ambassador for water, bringing you the only rock and roll podcast for water anywhere on the globe. The cultural footprint of the world revolves around the Berkshires, so why not play along with that game? It's kind of like when in Rome, do like the Romans. And the Romans here in the Berkshires definitely love their culture. So a little bit about that. That's why we exist, to bring that spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down. And part of that is learning how to have a first principle when it comes to H2O. That everybody deserves. It's actually written in the American is it in the Constitution, or is it in the Bill of Rights, or is it in the, it's in the preamble, actually. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which water provides. So it is our right to make sure that we have people who care about that and care about all that water provides. So super psyched to be with you today. Have a great interview, second half of the show, with Peyton Fleming of the De-Ice Citizens Campaign. And that was regarding Citizens Bank and getting rid of the flow of credit to private prisons. That flow of money has been cut off from Citizens Bank to such wonderful organizations such as the Geo Group and, of course, our friends over at Core Civic that run a lot of the private prisons that are detaining people in a really cruel fashion. And we get to look at that through the framework of water, because ice is a water-related substance. So stay tuned for that. Second half of the show, we got some music coming your way, and gotta love rock and roll. It provides so much in that water reference. Got some news coming right after that, but first let's deal with the water. And first up, we got the Toadies, I Come From the Water. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
Forever, it moves beneath me, it pulls me. the water. I come from the water. I come from the water.
Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel bumping. Black water keep rolling on fast, just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Yeah, keep on shining your light. Gonna make everything great. Mama gonna make everything all right. And I ain't got no worries, 'cause I ain't in no hurry. Some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
A lot of hand, take me by the hand, pretty mama, come and dance with your daddy all night long.
I like to hear some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
A lot of hand, take me by the hand, pretty mama, come and dance with your daddy all night long.
I like to hear some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
Come on, baby.
Some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, gonna take me by the hand.
By the hand, by the hand, pretty mama, gonna take me.
Okay, you water lovers out there, quite a few of you, most of you, I would say, most of you love water. The others are just, you know, looking to love their water, but haven't gotten there yet. But bottom line, water is cool. That's why And So It Flows is here to make sure that coolness goes from the Berkshires to all around the world. That's why people come to the Berkshires, because it's cooler in the winter. They come up from Florida. They come from different parts of the world. They come to the Berkshires to get that cultural input and to also get some of that coolness that comes from having so much water in our region. And that's what's so great about it. That's what's so great about it. And So It Flows. We're making water grunge again, and any other kind of rock and roll or related rock and roll and popular music from here and around the world. And we started off
today with I Come From The Water from the Rubberneck album. That's the Toadies. We had Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden. And that is from the Super Unknown Deluxe Edition album. And then we just heard the Doobie Brothers with Blackwater. What were once vices are now, what's the name of the album, are now habits. So yeah, maybe we can make the habit around, let's see what we can do to bring a river back to life. And you probably have that where you're listening from, anywhere around the world. There are plenty of places around the world where we've despoiled the water. And now what there is to do is to learn about cleanup, bringing in that first, what is that? That first principle to work on those things that are the most basic. So everything else is kind of soil for your plant. You want good soil. You want, and then that plant is going to thrive with the proper nutrients and the proper amount, you know, of whatever you call that loamy soil. I'm not a farmer. I don't even grow vegetables right now. But they're, you know, nutrients that go into the soil that make that plant and or vegetable and or any kind of thing that grows healthy. So that's really cool. We got some really interesting news today by the gift that seems to keep on giving. And I'm not going to be talking about the Navy and how people are jumping off ships, because that's water related. Again, this has got to be more with the Strait of Hormuz. This is a little piece that comes from NPR where Trump is threatening Oman, which is supposed to be an ally, amid talks over control over the Strait of Hormuz, which is a body of water over there near Iran and Oman. And special thanks to NPR for putting this baby together.
Done by the Republican-led legislature there, which boosted their party's chances in the fall midterms. That could lead to a drop in the number of black members of Congress from the state. In Wyoming, candidates vie to replace Republican senators.
Actually, that's not the right one.
Oman is
the
U.S. ally that's been moderating indirect talks between the U.S. and Iran. Fox News reporter Trey Yingst recounted some of an exchange with Trump on Monday.
And the president told Fox News, if Oman gets in the way, we'll bomb the S out of them.
The president's threat coincides with talks over control of the Strait of Hormuz and the expiration of a 60-day memorandum of understanding that the president had touted as a roadmap to peace. For more on this, we've called Michael Fuchs. He's a former official in the Biden White House and the State Department during the Obama administration. He's now a director for U.S. foreign policy at the Open Society of Foundations. That's an advocacy group founded by George Soros. Mr. Fuchs, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
So this isn't the first time that President Trump has threatened Oman. In a cabinet meeting in May, he said Oman would have to, quote, behave just like everybody else, or we will have to blow them up, unquote. Do you have a sense of why President Trump is being so hostile toward Oman?
Well, Michelle, I think that President Trump clearly lashes out at those who he perceives to be crossing him. And in this case, Oman is just the latest in a very long list of countries as well as individuals who the president believes are crossing him. So right now, President Trump is clearly very deeply unhappy with the state of the conflict in the region, as he should be. And so he has heard whispers of Oman talking with Iran about potentially trying to cut a side deal to open up the strait, including through charging tolls for vessels that are transiting the waterway. And that's something that the president is deeply unhappy about, because it makes it seem as though he is not in control of the situation there. He, of course, has been talking about the need to open up the Strait of Hormuz now for many, many months. And so the smallest hint that Oman may be trying to cut a side deal with Iran is making him deeply unhappy. Again, not a surprise. You see him lash out at U.S. partners and allies all the time. Just the other day, he was lashing out at our ally, South Korea, as well. So again, not a huge surprise.
But in this instance, he's threatening to bomb a partner. And I'm wondering, based on your experience, how might other allies, especially in the Gulf, be thinking about this when they hear that?
Yeah, well, I think that for 6 months now, I think many of our partners in the Gulf, as well as elsewhere, are looking at the events in the region and the war, this illegal, unnecessary war that the president has started, and thinking to themselves that they need to look how to figure out how to secure their interests elsewhere, frankly. And so whether or not you're taking the president's threats to bomb Oman seriously or not, I think that other partners in the Gulf are absolutely taking the president's actions of the last 6 months deeply seriously. And as you can tell by Oman's conversations with Iran, as well as other conversations that we've gotten a sense of that other partners in the region are having with themselves and with one another, everyone is looking to hedge their bets against the United States and its erratic nature and its erratic policies in the region. And I think that's exactly what the other partners in the region are looking at right now, how to secure their own interests right now.
So the memorandum of understanding with Iran expired Monday. Fox quotes Trump as saying Iran should just, quote, put up the white flag of surrender, unquote. They clearly are not doing that. So it's just in the time we have left here, about 50 seconds left. What do you see going forward?
Well, look, I think that this is clearly a game of high stakes chicken right now. Neither side, neither the United States nor Iran, want to back down. And so I think what we have to do in order to figure out what happens next is take a step back. President Trump started this war 6 months ago. It has proved to be an epic disaster for the people of the region and for the people of the United States. People are dying in the region. Prices for Americans are going up. And clearly, we are undermining, as the United States, our ability to tackle challenges in other regions, such as Asia and Europe. So the president wants this war to end. I think everybody wants this war to end. But he just can't figure out exactly how to do it.
Michael Fuchs is a former official in the Biden and Obama administrations, now at the Open Society Foundations. Mr. Fuchs, thank you for your time.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
In the restaurants, like, you know, I don't get to go out to dinner that often, but instead of getting a delicious steak, I'll get the fish, because I like disgusting food. Because fish is disgusting. How bored are you with eating if you're ordering the fish? You know, just bring me something gross. I like to waste money. Who's the first person to walk into a harbor and go, hey, whatever reeks in here, let's eat that? Fish don't even like fish. That's why they're always frowning. They're like, what's that smell? Oh, it's me. I'm a fish. What's the best compliment you can give fish? It's to say that it's not fishy. Isn't fish supposed to be fishy? Get the hamburger. It's not burgery. Fishy is an indication something's wrong. Something fishy going on here? No, everything's burgery. I'm Catholic. Every Friday during Lent, we eat fish, which is supposed to symbolize the suffering of Jesus on the cross. What? Which means at one point someone was like, how should we honor the sacrifice of Jesus? And the other guy was like, well, we could fast, we could starve ourselves. No, that's too easy. What if we ate fish? And the other guy was like, I'd rather be crucified. It's a true story, it's in the Bible. Fish, some cultures they eat fish for breakfast. Good morning, here's some fish. It matches your breath. I'm not even hungry in the morning, granted, because I ate a couple hours earlier. But fish? I was in Iceland, went down to breakfast. At the beginning of the buffet, there was a bottle of fish oil and 12 shot glasses. They're drinking fish for breakfast! I don't know when you're supposed to drink fish, but maybe not when you wake up. Do you want the orange juice, the grapefruit juice, or the fish juice? The best news that ever happened to grapefruit juice. Finally, I'm not the worst thing on the planet.
Staring at those ocean eyes.
Listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, the only rock and roll show for water anywhere around the world. You can get it on podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Just look for And So It Flows and check it out. You'll check us out on Apple, 5 stars there, Amazon. You also want to check out, you can find us on iHeartRadio. And it'll come directly to your phone. Super psyched to be here with you. You just heard some Ocean Eyes with Billie Eilish. And then we had Fish, a little comedy stand-up from Jim Gaffigan. Obviously, water-related there. Because, you know, why not eat something stinky? Nothing wrong with fish. Just watch out when your fingers smell like fish. Where have they been? And more up, we got a little announcement. This is a PSA brought to you directly from WTBR and Pittsfield Community Television. It's turning 40 this year, and we're inviting you to join the celebration. And for me, it'll be a water celebration. PCTV's 40th anniversary. That's 40. Four decades. Anniversary celebration is on September 18th. Get your tickets now before they, you know, sell out. It's going to be at the Berkshire Hills Country Club starting at 6 p.m. Enjoy an evening of food, fun, and dancing. Tickets are only $50. You could also donate more if you wish. The event will also feature a keynote address from WTEN's Ryan Peterson. Go to PittsfieldTV.org right now for more information and to purchase tickets. That's Pittsfield 40th Anniversary Celebration, September 18th, Berkshire Hills Country Club, beginning at 6 p.m. Get your tickets at PittsfieldTV.org, and you can definitely love them some much and enjoy an evening out and help support one of the best media conglomerates, would you call it, right here in your own hometown, and then bring some of your ideas, and perhaps you could pitch them. But in the meantime, let's just have some fun. No talking shop. You're listening to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, and then 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I had the opportunity to record a really cool interview with Peyton Fleming, who helped run a really successful campaign called De-Ice Citizens Bank, which was providing a credit flow to some of the private prisons, and they turned off that flow through their activism. So without further ado, see how my French is right there? Without further ado, got a little bit more of that. Let me go see where it is. We're going to bring that right here. Hold on 1 second. And we're going to start off right now with this great interview. It's And So It Flows, De-Icing with Peyton Fleming. Is that working? No, it's not working. Yay, we're going to find out why. Not a worry in the world. We'll get this working. Get it working. Okay. We're going to go here with the Peyton Fleming. Here we go. There we go. It's going to start right now.
Welcome. You're back with And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm here in the middle of the forest, however, in the Berkshires. here at WTBR-FM and So It Flows podcast, the only rock and roll podcast for water anywhere on the planet. I'm here with Peyton Fleming. Peyton Fleming is a journalist, activist, someone who's involved in everything from the EPA to a current de-icing campaign, and we're going to be talking to him about a very successful de-icing campaign. Peyton, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. And just for background, back office stuff, Peyton was with me yesterday and there was a tech breakdown. So we're his generosity brought him back today. So thanks again. We'll go on for about 20 minutes and then we'll go into some of the stuff around the de-icing campaign specifically. And for folks who are watching from where you are here in the Berkshires or listening from where you are here in the Berkshires, we were before. We had an ice episode back last year prior to what was going on in Minneapolis. So we definitely have a stake in the game. And what's really cool is that your de-ice campaign happened in Massachusetts, which is the birthplace of the American Revolution. So welcome forward. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved.
Yeah, I mean, the campaign we're talking about is we called it De-Ice Citizens Bank. And it was a campaign that started in Massachusetts and Connecticut, primarily about a dozen volunteers, activists, many new to this activist game. And the campaign focused on Citizens Bank, which is a Rhode Island bank, a pretty major institution. And we targeted them because they were the only major bank in the United States that has been providing financing support to the two largest ICE prison companies in the country, Core Civic and Geo Group. And so we launched this campaign back in January. It just so happened our first big protest day, a few dozen protests, was on the same day that the second fatality happened in Minneapolis. So there was a reason why our campaign really took off from January onward. And we won. Citizens Bank, after hundreds of protests, hundreds of millions of dollars being withdrawn from the bank, caved in mid-July. They announced that they were getting out of all the financing business of these two prison companies. They had provided almost $3 billion of loans, bonds, credit facilities to them over a dozen years. So we forced them out of that business, and we're feeling pretty good about it and think it was a really good win for not just going after a bank that was supporting the ICE agenda, but for all citizen activists across America. You know, it shows that if you have a good target, a good goal, a clear goal, and you stick with it day after day after day, you can make them pay.
Yeah, or not pay in this particular case, because the paying was going to specifically from Citizens Bank. I want to parse it out a little bit. There was a flow of money, which is in the world of water. They were funding and or loaning money as a credit arm for two major private prisons. One is actually called Core, and the other one is a little bit less known or more. What is the other one? GEO.
They were providing financing support to Core Civic and Geo Group, which together run dozens of ICE prisons across the country. They're probably handling more than half of the 70,000 plus folks who are being detained and held in ICE prisons across the country as we speak. They were providing financing to these companies. They basically enabled them to take off from a growth point of view, as well as earn record profits as the ICE agenda has escalated over the last 16 months. It's a deplorable business that Citizens Bank was in supporting, and we made them pay for it.
Yeah, it's like hot and cold. You know, do we want to be a hot-blooded nation where we're warm and our hearts are warm, or do we want to be cold as ice and really just be brutal to everything in the world? And what you showed, that you can actually take away the financing for these brutal institutions where we're just showing our most brutal face, and it shows that people have some power in how it goes. And while it might not have taken down the entire institution around it, it definitely shows that you can actually make a difference here. And that's really inspiring when people are looking for ways to make a difference. That's a beautiful thing. So, more power to you. How when you got involved,
What brought you to it? What led you to this de-ice movement?
I got involved because, like many Americans, I mean, one, I'm retired, so I had time. Like a lot of Americans, when Donald Trump was elected the second term, I went into kind of a paralysis state for a couple of months. And it took me, two or three months to just kind of emerge and try to figure out what could I do beyond reading about it all the time and getting depressed and going to a No Kings rally once every 2 months, which I didn't, those rallies are incredibly important, but they're not, I didn't feel like they were going to make a huge difference in terms of turning this agenda around under this president. And so I got more deeply involved after doing a civil resistance kind of toolkit called 1 Million Rising, which was really went in deep on what civil resistance campaigns work, how do they work, and it pointed to places all over the world where targeted, strategic, sustained civil disobedience aimed at key actors supporting an agenda, in this case, companies that are supporting the Trump administration's agenda and the ICE agenda. If you can go after some of those pillars, it will start to erode the overall structure of an authoritarian regime, so to speak. So I was very inspired by this toolkit, three hours of training. And so when I had an opportunity to get involved in the campaign, I jumped right at it. And that was the Citizens Bank campaign.
This toolkit, interesting. Was it in a online form where you could watch it on your leisure and go bit by bit, or did you have to sit down for a whole day with a group of people, or how did it work?
No, it was created by a national activist group called Indivisible.
Oh yeah, they have quite a few chapters over here in Western Mass.
There are chapters all over the country. The goal, they put out this toolkit in last summer. The goal was to get 1 million people trained, and it involved 3 hour long online training sessions. The first was really focused on the history of civil resistance. It was based on a woman researcher who lives in Western Mass, actually Erica Chenworth, who has written many books on civil resistance, what works, what doesn't. One of her key lessons was that doing occasional rallies will not get you what you need. You need to be more strategic. You need to be more persistent. It needs to really be a daily exercise of going after pillars of supporting the ICE agenda or what have you. And then it really gave the nuts and bolts of, like, how do you organize protests? How do you bring people together? How do you think about strategies? How do you broaden the networks so that you're bringing in diverse...
more people, perhaps people who haven't participated in the protest world or in the activist world, and find ways to communicate, I'm guessing, something in that world?
Yeah, and I got involved in this campaign, and it immediately took off, and it's been basically my full-time job for the last 8 months, and loving every minute of it. I was working with probably a core group of about a dozen of us who were talking every day. All of us had different skill sets, and we brought in 175 groups across the country who ended up getting involved in our coalition.
Wow, that's really amazing. Like again, water-related tributaries coming together, creating a flood of activism and a flood of really powerful ways of making a difference. So that's really great. For those just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm your ambassador for water, your super waterman. We're here in the Berkshires on WTBR-FM and anywhere you can get your podcasts from, major platforms everywhere. Rock and roll podcast for water right here in the Berkshires, bringing water culture all around the world and things related to water culture, like melting ice, de-icing ourselves, getting beyond the need to be brutal for no apparent reason and causing untold suffering like ICE has done unnecessarily in this last term, current term, and final term of the Trump administration. And, when I was pledging a fraternity and it was Hell Week, and then on Hell Night, we would have the saying, our pledges would say, when I was pledging, only 5 more minutes. So if we just continue to go down, like, only 5 more minutes, this is going to be ending really soon. Let's bring people a little bit further back into your world. You're a journalist. You work with Reuters. I see some stuff here at Reuters. What kind of stuff did you cover? What was your journalism world?
Actually, my first journalism gig was at the Country Journal in Huntington, Massachusetts, up in the Hilltowns.
Whoa.
we're talking many, many years ago, but I did journalism for about, I don't know, 15 years or so, all over New England, covered the environment, covered business, covered everything.
Did you ever cover anything water-related as a journalist, other than melting ice or de-icing?
Yes, I've written about water for sure over the years. Nothing out in Western Mass, but I certainly have a strong appreciation for the importance of water. It's what the world depends on, what people depend on. As I mentioned before, I think I was involved with the EPA when they first went after GE on the Housatonic River to clean up the PCBs. Yes, I have a deep appreciation of water. Haven't, you know, written about it too much. But I got out of journalism about halfway through my career and then became an environmental advocate, mostly working at either regulatory, but more primarily working for nonprofit groups.
That's great. Now, I can see a whole world where this kind of activism around what was happening with de-ice and having Citizens Bank take away the credit funding for Geo Group and CoreCivic. Yep. I can see that happening around the whole water issue, because one of the things I found out, given that you touched on the EPA and all that wonderful stuff, that's still stuff is still going on. Yeah. back in 1985, there's a woman, we'll go down this road as quickly, but there's a woman who was working for GE Labs, found a locally occurring microbe that eats PCBs and makes them go inert. Ends up, Jack Welch comes in a few years later and actually shuts down GE Labs. She goes to RPI, becomes a very well-known professor in this world of bioremediation. So what I'm seeing is that for 41 years, there's been a solution to learn a whole new way of doing business called cleaning things up and bringing things back to life. And it was right here that was found, and it was suppressed since then in my worldview. That's one of the reasons I participate as a podcaster to bring rock and roll to the situation, and perhaps a spoonful of sugar helping the medicine go down, and then we can learn how to clean up after ourselves, not so much to become a Luddite and throw away every toxic thing, but learn to clean up so we don't have to make, as we could start over again like an Etch-a-Sketch.
We're in a frustrating time right now where we've got an administration that is really not thinking about sustainability at all. In fact, I think they've wiped it off the lexicon. It's very short-term focused, profit-oriented. I'm especially upset about what's going on out west, particularly including down in Texas right now, where there's a beautiful Big Bend National Park and the Rio Grande River, where their bulldozers, as we speak, are creating this ridiculous wall that goes right through the national park. I have a lot of friends down there who are really, really, you know, both sides of, you know, Republicans, Democrats, they are really, really upset. It's just a waste of money and destroying a beautiful part of the country that many people haven't been to, but I know I've heard a lot about it. So yeah, it's we're in a tough time.
Yeah, it's you know, people want to see how they can participate, and making it accessible is one of the things that you showed around de-ice. We have about 3 minutes left to this interview, and again, thanks again for making yourself available. Peyton, we're talking with Peyton Fleming. I'm your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water with And So It Flows, rock and roll podcast from Pittsfield, all around, and going all around the world. So Peyton, did you have a specific position or something with the de-ice campaign? What was that all about?
I mean, we started with about a dozen of us. We all had different skill sets. We all had our respective networks. I mean, I was doing a lot of the media work and the communications work and the writing. It was a really easy sell. I'll be perfectly honest. What Citizens Bank was doing, the timing of when they were doing it, it made it very easy to pitch concerned activists, concerned regular people all over the country who have been so upset about ice that when we told them what we were doing, they just jumped right on board. You know, it's tough to fight this agenda, and many Americans are looking for ways. You know, what can I do? We had one avenue for going after it. Certainly there's many more that are still being, you know, fought, battles that are being fought, including at ICE facilities all over the country. That was how I got involved, and it just, you know, as I said, it took off quite rapidly, and you know, it became more than just protests. We started, you know, a Not With Our Money withdrawal campaign that quickly raised $25 million that individuals were pulling out of the bank. Did this in close partnership with faith groups in Boston and Cleveland. And then municipalities in New Jersey started closing their accounts because they were quite concerned about Delaney Hall, which is a Geo Group facility in Newark that's had hunger strikes, labor strikes, protests, people dying, unfortunately, as early as this week.
People dying, teenagers getting pregnant, all sorts of stuff. Delaney is
one
of the basket cases of the ICE facilities.
So when municipalities started closing their accounts and pulling literally hundreds of million dollars out of the bank, I think that was the final straw for Citizens Bank, you know, that saw that, you know, they just, you know, they tried to make us go away and it wasn't going to happen. So they, you know, read the tea leaves and said, we got to call it quits.
Yeah. One other thing that we were discussing in a previous conversation was you brought in people from to go to a shareholder meeting. 500 folks from Harvard actually showed up to
Brown University.
Brown, okay.
So we got the Brown students involved, which was a wonderful experience because sometimes in the world of activism, you know, what students are focused on might vary a little bit from what older folks are trying to do. And one of the takeaways from this effort was, you know, we got to find ways for everybody to work together. And that means in the case of the Brown students, you know, they might have a broader agenda of issues they want to be going after, including Israel, Gaza, issues like that. We had a very open mindset about, you know, talking about all the issues that need to be addressed, not just the ICE agenda. But anyway, so the Brown students ended up getting very involved, and we're talking hundreds of students, very smart, strategic, creative minds. And it was super helpful, particularly down in Providence when we had 400 or 500 people outside the Citizens Bank annual meeting and really made their life miserable and embarrassing. And it certainly hurt their reputation.
Well, there you go, Citizens Bank. You know, don't be getting into the brutality industry. There are prices to pay around that. And just so thanks again, Peyton. I'm going to read here quickly. There is a website for DICE Citizens Bank. It's DE-ICE and then citizensbank.org.
Yeah, just type in DICE citizensbank.org and it will pop up.
Yeah, great. Great. And it has a whole show of things that are going on around that. It's quite an amazing feat that you did in a relatively short amount of time. So I guess your time is going to be spent sharing about how and what and different steps. I actually want to take this offline and go further with you on this as well. Okay. I think it's really of value. So to be effective, you're listening again to And So It Flows. You're watching it as well. The only show for H2O rock and roll podcast from Pittsfield and the Berkshires, bringing the culture of water and water related things all around the world. And just thanks again, Peyton, for being here. You've been, very generous with your time, and we'll talk really soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Okay. Be well and melt that ice. Melt it.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
tension between his gears, man. He'll never ever leave this place. He's got stones instead of bones, and everybody knows. Ah, man, that could make you real, real slow. And if heaven was below, you know just where to go. Dive in the ocean and it sink like a stone. Sing faster than you can imagine, so just hold on if you can. You're gonna sing faster than you can imagine, so
Lovers, super psyched to be with you. You've been listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your super waterman, ambassador for water. And tune in next week. We got some really cool guests. By the name of Gail Gelbard, we'll be talking about the art of water and the water of art and water art all in one. So stay tuned for that. She's a world famous artist based here in the Berkshires. And super psyched to be with you again. We are your rock and roll water show, and so it flows here at 89.7 Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
The mouth is water, sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. Easy, in trouble. Water, water. Water, water. Water, water. In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.